Sunday school, it's the first Sunday of the month.
And that therefore puts me teaching the adult class. And we're going to be talking today about something that has come across my desk and has my attention. And so I'll share that with you as soon as I get set up here. I wasn't able to get fully set up. I had many things to deal with this morning. And I like to be set up. I like a rut. I mean, a routine. Okay. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you for your goodness. You have blessed us for sure in many ways. I pray now as we go into your word and look at this subject that we shall indeed complete the class and go away from here by your grace, practicing more the theme of this lesson. In Jesus' name, amen. During the last half year, from two different medical organizations, both actually insurances, I received publications. Now, the one that I'm looking at now is for the supplement for my Medicare, and it's actually a multi-page thing, and I just photocopied this one. But it's tips to improve your mental health today. All right? So if you need this, this is for you. First of all, it says, find the positive. Think positively about situations and helps manage your stress. You go to the doctor and you get these forms to fill out, and they always want to know, are you stressed? How are you? And I'm always fine on their forms. The first time I filled one out many years ago, and my doctor goes into talking to me about my mental health. And I thought, I'm here for my belly ache, not my head. Okay? And so anymore, I always fill them out that I'm perfectly fine. Even if I'm being stressed about something, I'm not going to tell them that. But man, they're going to put you in a straitjacket eventually. That's none of their business. But you see, it's treating the whole person. The whole person. Don't get me going on that. Well, you didn't. I did. Anyway, then the next thing, this is reasonable. Eat healthy. Get enough sleep. That's I can relate to that one, okay? And then here's one. Practice mindfulness. Mindfulness. Focus on what's happening in the present moment. There are many phone apps and online tools that can help you to get started. Now, you know, as Christians and in the church for many years, we would have lessons given, or I would hear messages preached on the present is all that we have. You can't live in the past because it's behind you. And you don't know what's coming in the future, though you might anticipate some things. You don't know because it's not here. All we have is the present. And you, Christian man and woman, are responsible for the present. Oh, I remember preaching some good messages on that, okay, and hearing them through the years. Now I find it from my insurance company. Mindfulness. Keep moving. This is for the old duds, okay? Keep moving. Exercise can improve your mood and sleep. Yeah, it improves my mood. It makes me grumpy. Okay? I remember the time I went walking with Pat. And we got back. She says, oh, I feel so invigorated. How do you feel? I said, tired and sweaty. But it's supposed to help you, okay? So keep moving, you know. Don't be a couch potato. I like potatoes. Now this one we'd all agree with. Limit alcohol use. Definitely. Avoid alcohol use is the way it ought to be written. But they're not going to write that, okay? And then connect with others. Hey, in the church, we've had that for a long time. What do we call it? Fellowship. Okay? And we not only do it in group meetings, barring COVID, we not only do it in group meetings, but we encourage people to interact with each other. You have to remember me saying already, invite somebody from the church over to your house. Give them a call and go see them. Connect with others. Now listen, why is it that we have to get from the insurance company emphasis on this sort of thing? All of us here in the church ought to be practicing these things. And then the one that I'm preaching on today is focus on gratitude. If you're having a day where nothing seems to be going right, take a minute, breathe. I've been doing that, but breathe and think of things you're grateful for. You know, I read that and I thought to myself, wow, I've been teaching and preaching for 50 some years now on thankfulness. Now, you won't hear that, you won't read that term thankfulness. They use the term gratitude. And in my lesson today, I'll show how they work together. So the focus of the message is gratitude. This is nothing new. It's something that we've been practicing for years in the church. Then I got another one. This is from another insurance company. And it says, the healing powers of gratitude and how it can lead to greater happiness. Gratitude makes us happier, improves self-esteem, draws people to us. Yeah, when somebody's a complainer and grumpy all the time and they come towards you, here they come again, And you don't have to ask them. They're going to unload on you. And so it draws. But the idea here is gratitude. It makes it that other people want to be around you because you're positive, you see. And then cultivates optimism and increases mindfulness of others. I wonder if they work together on that. This is a good one. Gratitude reduces a focus on materialism. I remember hearing many a sermon in church about materialism and how we ought not to be materialistic in our orientation, that we ought not to be thinking just of the things we have, but be grateful for what we have, thankful, and here's another key word that goes with all that, be content with what you have. And then gratitude, it says, helps reduce depression, can help lower blood pressure. Yeah, you get all stressed out about something, you need to think positive and get in a different frame of mind, or you're going to have to go take a pill. Helps us sleep better, aids in recovery. Now, that's an area that I think was worth reading about, that through studies and research that's been done, they found that a positive outlook on life, and which would involve gratitude, does help people when it comes to healing from whatever their condition is. It brings calm. Well, sure it does. If you're grateful for things, you're going to have a positive outlook and you're not going to be stressed out as much. But here it is, two insurance companies that sent me literature. The one was a winter publication, so I'm not sure just when I got it. And the other one came about 2 months ago. So gratitude is what our lesson is about. And thankfulness and gratitude go hand in hand. If you are thankful for what you have, you will have gratitude for it. But you cannot psychologically which is the base of these, you cannot psychologically work up the matter of gratitude. Because this old nature that's in man, not just Christians, okay? There's an old nature in every person. And it is prone to think of the negative. Thankfulness and gratitude go hand in hand. Now, these secular medical companies seldom use the term thankfulness. And you know, it's a good thing that they're sending this kind of information to their customers. It isn't going to hurt them. But these are things that the church has been talking about and teaching for centuries. And are we practicing it? That's the key thing. Maybe some of the areas of stress that we do have is because we're not thankful for what we have. Maybe it's because we're not content with the car that we drive, the house that we live in, or the clothing that we wear. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to improve ourselves or improve our status in life. But you cannot focus on complaining about what you don't have and think that you're going to be able to advance yourself as a believer in Jesus Christ. Psalm 136. We're going to look at quite a few Bible verses today. We're going to start out in Psalm 136 and verse 1. Psalm 136, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, there's two reasons to be thankful that's shown to us in this verse. One is God's goodness. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. God is good. There's a common saying that was going around. I don't know if it may still be, somebody says God is good, and another person responds, always. Okay? Always. So, and it's true. And notice, if you will, the next part of this verse, he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. So two reasons to be thankful is the goodness of God and the mercy of God. Now, it's interesting, if you read the rest of Psalm 136, every verse ends with God's mercy. Let's look at just a few of them. Verse 2, oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 3, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 4, for his mercy endureth forever. You read all of them, you're going to find that ending to all of them. I think that God wants us to know that his mercy endureth forever. And listen, friend, that's good. Because we're saved by the grace of God, because God has had mercy on us, and that mercy isn't going to end. That means that my salvation won't end, because the mercy of God endureth forever. John chapter 10 in the New Testament, the Gospel of John, chapter 10 and verse 10. John 10, 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Our very nature is depravity, but God gives life. Romans 6:23, that we're familiar with, says the wages of sin is death, but the what? Gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Jesus said in John 10:10 that it's not just eternal life in the sense that we're going to go to heaven and live forever, but it's an abundant life which would be applicable to now while we're living. of saying that just came to my mind from, oh my lands, I don't know how long ago, that we live in the nasty now and now. Okay, but as a believer in Jesus Christ, I not only have eternal life to get me to heaven in the future, but I have abundant life for now. Okay, that's what God gives. And so that's a reason to be thankful. The natural response is to be grateful then for the life that God gives. I'm thankful God has saved me. And that causes me to be grateful for the life that I live. I could name things I used to do. Now, I got saved when I was 15. I'm 77 years old, and back when you're 77, back when you were 15, things were not like they are today, okay? The access to alcohol and drugs and sex is so much freer today than it was back then. Hey, listen, it existed back then. Yeah. Don't think that, you know, I wish I could live 20 years ago, things were better. No, they weren't better. They're just worse today. And so, but nevertheless, God gave me a new life. God changed me. And he made me different. There's things that a lifestyle, that's a popular saying, okay? The lifestyle that I have now is so much different and better than the one that I had then. Now, my old nature, and yours, by the way, but my old nature causes me to think of number one first, okay? But God teaches us not to think of myself first. God teaches us to think of others. As a matter of fact, there's a song to sing with the children, the joy song, Jesus and others and you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. And it's true. You'll have joy and happiness when you put Jesus first, and then you think of others, and then you take care of yourself. Well, who's going to take care of me if I don't take care of me? You think God could do it? That's why Jesus comes first, and then others, and then you. Isn't it a shame that insurance companies had to tell us this kind of thing? Mindfulness is what they call it. We'd sing the chorus, Jesus and others and you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. You won't find that in such material. I don't expect it. It's not the place for it. You find that in this material, the Bible, and then in the material that they're studying back in our Sunday school classes. Now, the next Bible verse I want you to turn to is in the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, I would always get things, Timothy and Thessalonians. To this day, I can get them mixed up. Yeah. Which comes first? And I mentioned that, and then Sister Pam, she told me, she said, well, H comes before I. And you know, when I'm ready to turn to it and I backslide and can't remember, which one's first? Then I remember what Pam said. H comes before. But usually, I've got to start at A. G-H-I. Oh, yeah, that's right. H. I'm not the only one. I see some smiles of recognition. Okay. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. In the last days, it's going to be rough. Now, are we in the last days? I don't know. There's many things about today that appear to coincide with prophetic descriptions of the last days. We very well could be. If we're not in the last days, I'm comfortable in saying that we're starting the last days, okay? And I'll let it up to others to go into better detail on that. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Unthankful. Friends, wicked and evil people are unthankful. And as such, they're not grateful. They're not content with what they have. They ought to have something more. If we get that far in the lesson, you'll hear me say, you don't deserve it. Now, we watch TV, and I talk with the TV. They never talk back, which that's sort of nice, you know. I just get to say what I think. But, you know, there's an ad for a car, and you deserve this car. There's an ad for clothing, and you deserve this skirt, these slacks. And my comment is, no, they don't deserve it. You say, well, what do you mean I don't deserve it? Be content with what you have. If you start thinking that you deserve everything that's advertised and thrown out to you in that manner, you're going to become the most disgruntled and unhappy person because you're not thankful for what you do have. Now, don't forget what I said several minutes ago. There's nothing wrong with bettering ourselves. There's nothing wrong if you know, a clothing item's worn out, or if a clothing item, you know, the dryer shrinks a lot of clothing, and therefore, if you need to get something else, there's nothing wrong with that. But don't go about this attitude of you deserve it, because that is so materialistically oriented, and even the insurance companies know that materialism isn't helpful to a person. We didn't need psychology to tell us that. We've had that from the Bible for centuries. You say, well, you said wicked and evil people. I'm not wicked and evil. I hope not. I would think not the way that is usually defined. I mean, that, you know, the wicked and evil normally today, that's the pits of people. But look what God describes it as. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Mm-hmm. Self-centered. Covetous. I want what you have. Why do you have that? I want that. Boasters. Don't you love being around people who brag about everything that's oriented to themselves? Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents, that is a condition that, you know, I've had to turn and walk the other way many a time in a store because I've heard the interaction of a child with their parents and the inability of the parent to control the child without yelling and screaming or clobbering the kid. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Okay, when you're not content with what you have, then you're going to begin to look at people that have it, and you're going to become a despiser of that person. Despiser of those that are good. Traitors. Ugh. Man, what we see going on in our country politically, and the riots and everything, you know, I'm going to lump a lot of that, not everything. Did you hear me say not everything? But I'm going to lump a lot of it underneath that. Traitors, heady, high mind. Now, why did you say he thinks that if a person demonstrates, I did not. You're jumping to your conclusion. I said much of what goes on, not all of it. You just glossed right over that. That's because you put self first. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. My ideas is all that matters. You know, I listen to NPR coming and going to work sometimes. I like to raise my blood pressure, okay? I listen to it. And you know, I've learned some things that were beneficial to learn. I've heard them say things that I didn't agree with, but the way they said it and explained it, they had a point. That doesn't mean I have to buy into everything that they ever say or everything on that given subject. But if you think you know it all, don't wonder why you don't have a lot of friends. That's not in it, that's not written here, but people don't like to be around to know it all. Oh well, traitors, heady-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's why a lot of churches don't have as many people going to them today, because people are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. So whatever it is that pleases them, from sleeping in, to golfing, to going for lunch somewhere, okay, whatever it is that they want to do, they're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You are where you ought to be today. You're in church. And for many of you, it's because you're a lover of God. Now, some of you are here because, well, I had one fellow tell me, and he went and got saved not too long after he said this. He said, Pastor, he said, he used to come over here to Cuba. He said, well, Pastor, he said, I go to church. He's in heaven right now. So is his wife. He said, I go to church because, you know, it makes it a whole lot easier to go to the pony poles if I go to church first. Then she's not nagging on me all day long. You say, what kind of motive is that to go to church? The kind that led to his salvation. Okay, the kind that led to his salvation. He's the only person I ever had before then and since then who got saved by appointment. He'd go out to church, and when he was having good and in control, he'd come out and his shirt was flat. And then other times he'd come out and it was had a round bulge here, okay, his snuff can. And he'd come out, and I'd say to him, and I can speak his name, he's in heaven, and he wouldn't care. Won't care anyway. He can change me if I get up there. But anyway, if I get up there, I'll be up there. Yeah. I said, Harold, when are you going to get saved? He literally would be a person that would hold on to pews and white knuckle it at invitation time. And I had a good relationship with him, and so I said, Harold, when are you going to get saved? Said that many Sundays to him. Not every Sunday in a row, just when it seemed a good thing to say. And I said, Harold, when are you going to get saved? He said, I don't work Tuesday. Tuesday's my day off. I'll be down at 9 o'clock. I said, well, Harold, why don't we just, it was a room, empty room. I said, why don't we go over there in that room and you can get saved now? He said, no, Tuesday at 9 o'clock, I'll be down. I said, well, what happens? He said, Tuesday. Okay. Tuesday, 5 and 9, saw him pull up the driveway. The church was here, and the parsonage was across the parking lot. He pulled up, parked, knocked on the door. I invited him in. I said, well, now, Harold, you've heard me preach many a time. You know what the Bible says regarding getting saved. Are you ready to do it? He said, yes, I am. Bowed his head, prayed, gave his life to Jesus Christ. His wife was not there, but she was witness to the fact that he got a new life in Jesus Christ. She told me how he was.
Yeah, that's good.
Now, he still went to pony poles Sunday afternoon. And he still went to church Sunday morning, because she'd have been on him if he hadn't, okay? But now he wanted to come. Wanted to come. And so there are some people that are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. And so here we have God's description of the wicked and evil people that he describes, and they're unthankful and ungrateful. Now, there are many Bible verses that talk about thanksgiving. in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. We're told to not be anxious about everything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God. And he promises that the peace of God, which will pass all understanding, it'll guard our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And so control of what we think, it comes by practicing submission to Jesus Christ and being thankful. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15, we're told that thanksgiving will overflow to the glory of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. Let's look at that. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. People say, what is the will of God? I'd like to know what the will of God is. What they mean is, I want to know, should I sell the house or keep it? Okay, should I quit my job and go work somewhere else? You know, this is what usually people mean by the will of God. But here we find very specifically what the will of God is, and that is keep the house, keep the job. In everything, give thanks and be glad you got a job. It blows my mind, people that will quit and then go look for a job and whine about it when they can't find one. Well, you had one. Okay? Now, if you want to change jobs, that's okay. You see, it's different to change a job than to quit a job. I'm glad Bob there is driving the truck. I prayed for him to be able to drive a truck. He's been a truck driver. I mean, he doesn't have blood in his veins. He is diesel. Okay. There was a time, because of the seizure that he had, that he couldn't drive truck. And his boss, because he's a good worker, gave him a job in the offices. I don't know if you know Bob to any extent, but he's not an office man.
No.
Okay? He's a good man, but he's not an office man. And I remember you telling me that your boss said to you, now I'll train you. Was it dispatcher that you were?
Kind of, yes.
Okay. Yes. He said, I'll train you to do this job. But he said, that when you get better, I don't want you to quit on me and go back to driving. He's back to driving. You say he didn't keep his word? No, his boss needed a driver more than he needed an office worker. Okay? And Bob's a dependable driver. Okay? When you don't see him, he's out west somewhere. Okay? On a long haul. And so, but you have a job, be thankful that you have a job. Man, I tell you, that gives people real problems when I say that to them. They'll be complaining about something, and I'll say, yeah, but isn't it good that you got a job? Hey, in a week, we're going to get a paycheck, you know? And so be thankful to God. Colossians 2, 6, and 7 tells us that we are going to be, we should abound with thanksgiving. When Christians are thankful, they will be grateful for all that they have. But if a Christian is not thankful, they'll be just like unsaved people who are always complaining about everything because they're not thankful for what they already have. And the reverse is true. When we are not thankful but take things for granted and think that the world owes us a living. How many of you ever heard that phrase? The world owes us a living. The world owes me a living. Yeah, I grew up hearing that. My dad would tell me, now, the world doesn't owe you a living. Work, okay? And I always like to say, depending on what I'm doing, I'll pull up a chair and I'll sit on it and do it. And somebody will look at me and I'll say, look, my daddy told me I had to work, but he didn't tell me I had to work at it, okay? And work smart, get the job done. And so, but this idea that the world owes us a living, that's where the TV ads come in. You deserve okay? Whatever it is they're trying to get into your pocket for. Colossians 2:7 tells us that we're to be rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught. Hey, listen, abounding in thanksgiving. In other words, we want to be a strong Christian. We want to be a mature Christian. We want to be a Christian that knows the importance of things and how to live and how to act. And well, then be thankful, because that's part of getting that rooted and built up status with Jesus Christ. In other words, if you're not thankful, you can't be the mature Christian you might think you are. We have so much to be grateful for in this life, each and every day. But the reality is that sometimes the demands of life, its struggles and its worries, give more place to defeat than to a heart of thanks. I love my wife. She helps me. I'll come in the house. She can tell that I'm down, having the blues or whatever. And we'll talk a little, and she'll say, "Yeah, but isn't God good?" You know, and the thought that goes through my mind is, woman, this is not a time I don't think about God, okay? I just found out that the car is going to need another engine. Oh, but the Lord always provides. Okay, here we go again. The Lord's going to provide this engine. And and what she's trying to do is get me into Bible living, where I stop focusing on the problem and start focusing on the problem solver. Now, depending on your nature, that will come easier to you than to somebody who has a different nature. But the fact is, regardless of our nature, that's how we ought to be directing our life. Sometimes we can forget in the midst of busyness and pleasures. And it's good to just pause and thank God for all he's done. But here's what can make a lasting difference. We have a choice every day to give thanks or to grumble. We have a choice every day to give thanks for what we have and be grateful, or just to grumble. You see, with a heart of thanksgiving, we realize that no matter what we face, God doesn't just work to change our situation. God doesn't just work to help us through the situation. He does more to change our lives. Okay? I had a lady gave me a sign one time. I don't know why. Maybe she knew me. She did. Prayer changes things. And the thing that it changes most is me.
Amen.
I'm going to conclude with this. Pat has three brothers. Two of them are in heaven. Her one brother, named Ralph, was retarded. Another brother, who is still living, said to her, "You know, I make a choice to think positive and to be grateful and thankful." He said, "I make a choice to do that regardless of what I'm facing." And then he said this, and I want you to remember this. "My worst day is better than Ralph's best day." Think about that. He knew that no matter what Ralph did, it wasn't going to change, that his mind was affected. We say today, mentally challenged. He was retarded. That's one reason why Pat finds no humor whatsoever in the misuse of the word retarded. Okay? Because Ken's worst day was better than Ralph's best day. Father in heaven, I pray that your spirit would work in us in such a way that we would be grateful for all that you've given to us. In Jesus.
Right.